just a super call from Ian and Carol McGrath this afternoon. They got back into Dallas real late and then got into Conway, Arkansas. And just the report was just unbelievable. The churches and the big 100-year anniversary thing that I told you about that was going on in Cuba. And then the seminary, everywhere that Ian went, he just made it very, very simple. And in that, how we're saved is how we walk by faith, faith in Christ, faith in the Spirit. And I wanted to come down and tell us. He just said, you can't believe the response. He said, from pastors, people, he said, not one person, but they all went, yeah, that's it. And what happens a lot in Central America countries, including Cuba, is that the tongues people are very, very high and very popular. Okay. Very high in that area in saturation and what they're doing. And so some of the pastors that he talked with really just sort of backed off from the Holy Spirit because they weren't sure about it, and boy, Ian just sat down and went through the deal with them, and he just said it was just received everywhere. He didn't have bucking at one place that he went in the truth there, and I'm really glad that happened with Ian because he's run into some problems with it in his family and things, and it was just really exciting to see and hear the response that he got there. So I'm going to have him come down and share that with us. So just continue to be in prayer in that regard. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer, because what we're looking at last night was extremely important, dealing with love, the things that we saw last night. But tonight also requires the power of the Spirit, because what we're dealing with is lying to the Holy Spirit. Telling the Holy Spirit one thing, but in truth, we're not. And so a lot of people are really concerned about somebody lied to me, and this person lied, that person lied, while most preachers and Christians, their whole life is a lie. Their whole life is a lie. Their whole message is a lie. Yet they would never think of telling a lie, and their congregation would never put up with a lie. But yet they will praise these people whose whole message is a lie, and we need to understand this. And then we're going to cover, after we finish this aspect of it, then we're going to cover their important study in why Ananias and Sapphira died. What is the message there? And that's very important also to understand what God is doing at that point. But right now we're taking up lying to the Holy Spirit, so that we can see it in the power of the Spirit. Let Him lead us through this thing. Let's spend a few moments in prayer, testing ourselves, preparing ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we do consider it a great privilege to be here and to allow your Spirit to open our eyes to see things, Father, that we will not see if we do not let Him take us on this journey. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes in regard to lying to Him, how we lie to Him. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will protect us from the powers of darkness that we seek to intrude on our seeing of these things. Pray, Father, that the Spirit will be the one teaching tonight. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, what we're dealing with now is lying to the Holy Spirit, or lying. It's the lie of faith. Now, what is the lie of faith? The lie of faith is very simple. We've made progression that in order to live a Christian life, and in fact, what we have to do, and when we'll start off when we are in sin, we have moved to the point that what you have to do when you are in sin to come out of sin is just simply go back to a faith relationship with God the Holy Spirit. Now, having gotten that, which is a giant step in this equation, we now see that there is a problem right from the very beginning of the church in seeing this, and that is that you can actually lie to the Holy Spirit, and the lie that is given is, I am trusting you. So here's the lie. I am trusting our faith in you, talking to the Holy Spirit. But in reality, you're not. In reality, we are not trusting the Holy Spirit. It is not faith only and faith alone in the Holy Spirit. What we're doing is we're holding on. We're holding on to other things. We're holding on to something else. We say we're trusting Him, but we're in reality and in truth, we're not. We're holding on to some other things. And we have already moved in this study. In lying to the Holy Spirit, we have come down to we've noted one, the first thing that we hold on to. And I have it first. If I were going to write a pamphlet or something on this, I wouldn't make this the first one, but you have to go from the context of where you're studying so that we can build on it. And in context of Acts chapter 5, what Ananias and Sapphira were holding on to, and the reason Peter said, you're lying to the Holy Spirit, not lying to man, you're lying to the Holy Spirit, and the reason they were lying to the Holy Spirit, right here, the reason they were lying to the Holy Spirit is because they were holding on to the world. And that's a general classification that we're going to give the things that they were holding on to. They were holding on to the world. First of all, in that situation, they were holding on to money. Their faith, they claim, was in the Holy Spirit. But they were in hard times in Jerusalem at this time in the first century. And a lot of Christians were poor, and a lot of Christians were hurting. And to have some extra money was really nice and gave a little more security on food and provision. And so instead of giving all the money, which they didn't have to do, but they lied to the Holy Spirit, not to man. And I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit. I'm being led of the Holy Spirit. But in truth, they were not. They were holding on to the world. And the first thing they were holding on as far as the world is concerned is money. The faith really is in money. I need money in this time of disaster. I need financial security. Saying they're trusting the Spirit, but in truth, they were trusting financial security. Nothing wrong with financial security. Don't walk away with the wrong message. Nothing wrong with that. But when you claim you're trusting God and you're trusting the Holy Spirit, but in truth you're holding on to financial security, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. The second thing that they were holding on under the world category was that they were holding on to glory from man. This one's tough. As a basic, people have studied the very nature of man. It's a nature of man to want to be loved, to love and to be loved, to be appreciated, to have friends. This is a very basic way that God made us, and this is why we are commanded to love one another. One of the reasons to love one another is to love. But it also, being very basic, if you understand that, then you can understand how dangerous it can be. It is very basic to love, to desire to love and to be loved, and to be appreciated and accepted. The whole thing with gangs and kids and everything. To be accepted. So if you will not deny that and understand that, then you're ready to go to the next step. That also makes it very dangerous. We will make some very poor decisions often and some wrong decisions, but the worst one we can make is to lie to the Holy Spirit that were trusting him but really were holding on to the glory of man and people. I am convinced that many people will never walk by faith in the Spirit because they're holding on to the glory of some man or some organization or some denomination or something. They simply got to hold on. They got to be accepted by man, no matter what they might see as the truth, and they will deny the truth because they want glory from man. This is a tough one. Money's a tough one. The love of money is the root of all evil, but this one's tough too. They're both very basic. Survival, money, and acceptance. These are basic things to man. Fundamental to man. Honey, you're old enough now to sit still. You're old enough. Okay. This is a very basic sense of our nature, of our being. The love of money and the love of praise, acceptance, and glory from other things, other people. So they claim to be trusting the Spirit, but in fact, they were holding on to things of the world. That brought us to the second one. So what are the things that we lie to the Holy Spirit is? First of all, we're holding on to things of the world, and yet we tell the Spirit we're trusting Him. Secondly, and as powerful in our floor study, and that is holding on to law. This one affects our very nature as a human being. This one comes from and is built in with our upbringing, our church, denomination, whatever the list is that we have been given throughout our life. And so we hold on to law. We tell the Holy Spirit, we're trusting the Holy Spirit, but we're holding on to law. And we, at this point, we looked at Deuteronomy 6:24 and 25. Did we just get here, or did we study this? Okay, look at Deuteronomy. I didn't mark last Wednesday night. I failed to mark it. So look at Deuteronomy 6. It's worth seeing again, since you're sitting there looking at me. And let's look at Deuteronomy 6. And what we're looking at here is trying to hold on to a self-righteousness, a righteousness that comes by the law. This is what we're holding on to. So if you look at Deuteronomy 6, very important passage dealing with the law and in our study of law. In verse 24, so the Lord commanded us to observe. Now remember, this is for those who have accepted the law as God's way. It isn't. But this is the conclusion. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, fear, very much part of law, for our good always and for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteousness for us. That is, it'll be my righteousness if I do all of these things the law commands. If I keep the law, I will have a self-righteousness. This is not the righteousness God is looking for. But if I hold on to all of this, I will have a righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us. You see the heaviness of command and law and obey. Hold your finger here and look at Genesis 15. Just to show you striking difference, so you will see it if you desire to see it at all. Look at Genesis 15, verse 6. Then Abraham believed. Simple faith. No obedience. Not obedience of all the commands. It just says, he believed in the Lord. And God reckoned it to him as righteousness. So you've got your pick. You can have a righteousness simply by faith. That's the easy way. That's the only way, really. Or you can try to come up with a righteousness of your own and work hard at it. And this is where most Christians, in living a Christian life, this is where they live. I've got now to acquire righteousness. Now, they may say, I'm trusting the Spirit, but they're holding on to their own doing. They're holding on to whatever their church or denomination or movement is. There's a lot of people in movements. And whatever their movement is, they have this list, this is what you've got to do. Faith over here, faith, but do this. So they claim to be trusting the Holy Spirit, holding on to law. That's lying to the Spirit. You're not trusting Him for righteousness. You are trusting your works here. You're not trusting God. You're trusting what you do for God. So if we go back now to Deuteronomy 6, and it will be righteousness for us, verse 25, if we are careful to observe all that is this commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us. So you can say, I'm getting righteousness by trusting God, but you're not because you're holding on to your doing. But I have to do this. I have to be good. I have to be moral. I have to go to church. I have to learn Bible doctrine. I have to emote. I have to serve God. Whatever you're, we've noted the four great categories of how the list functions. Whichever one is yours in your past. And it is very difficult to stop and to give up or not let that in. And just by faith, how will we say? Faith only and faith alone. And when you bring something or someone else, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. It's a lie. You're not trusting in Him alone and only. You are trusting Him plus your doing. You're doing the law. If you want to see another clear presentation of both right together, look at Isaiah 49. Look at Isaiah 49 with me a moment, please. Let's see if we can see it here. Okay, if you found Isaiah 49, you can find Isaiah 50, because that's where I want you to be. All right, Isaiah 50. And if you'll look at Isaiah 50, verse 11. We'll start so we see both sides, verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord? Now watch this. That obeys the voice of His servant. Okay, the Lord here is God. Who among you fears God, the Lord God? Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord, God the Father is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. They're all three Lord. Don't get caught up in this Jesus is Lord stuff. All three members of the Godhead are your Lord. So here we have, who is among you, and this divides us all up, that there is the Lord, God the Father, that obeys the voice of His servant. Okay, that's Jesus Christ. That walks in darkness, as he first asked, walks in darkness and has no light. In other words, have no light of your own. And you know it. I have no right, no light, no righteousness, no knowledge, no ability of righteousness, no ability of knowledge, no ability to do anything before God. Let him trust. And this is the voice of the Lord. This is His voice saying, trust in the name of the Lord, and rely on His God. How do we rely? By faith. Okay, that's one way you can do it. Simply by trusting. Verse 11, behold, warning. On the other hand, all you who kindle a fire, what does that mean? It means you kindle your own light. You make your own light. You do your own thing. Who encircle yourselves with firebrands. This is you're making your own light and your own glory and your own righteousness. Walk in the light. There's that word light. But where's the light? Of your own fire. And among the brands you have set ablaze. Okay? This is what you will have from my hand. And you will lie down in torment. It doesn't work. So, all I want you to see here is we tell the Holy Spirit we're trusting in Him, and we're dealing here with salvation too for the believer in recovering from sin, in living the Christian life, all the things that are involved in Christian life, learning Scripture, what truly is going on in Scripture, guiding us day in and day out. Sunday morning we're studying running or saying, speaking or remaining silent, all these kinds of things. Everything, power, wisdom, everything that we do in the Christian life, blessings from God, are we going to do that by simply trusting the Spirit? Spirit, I am trusting you, so here you are, I am trusting the Holy Spirit, I am trusting you, and that is the Holy Spirit, but in truth, what really is going on in your soul, you're holding on to your doing. You're holding on to your doing. You're not, you don't really trust him to bring in the righteousness. Well, I've got to do this and this and this to have that righteousness and to have love and to have these things. I've got to do something rather than him doing it all. So we lie to the Holy Spirit, claiming we're trusting him, but in truth we are not. So you can work for yourself righteousness by law, claiming that you're receiving it from God, claiming that you're trusting, but in truth you're lying to the Holy Spirit because you're not trusting him. If you would be honest with yourself, you're lying and you're really depending on what you do for all of this, these things that you have. I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit, holding on to your work, holding on to what you do, your rituals, your confession, your repentance, sacrament, whatever it is, working hard to be moral, emoting, serving God, but you claim, oh, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a lie. Because in truth, you're not trusting the Holy Spirit for these things. You are trusting in what you do, in what you say. And you lie because you just don't have it. We've already studied this. It takes courage, people. It takes courage just to say, I believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. You mean you don't have to be baptized? You don't have to do this? Nope. You don't? Nope. Yeah, nope. What about? Nope. But just think about that. You mean you are really counting on just trusting in Jesus Christ? You're laying all eternity on just doing that. Yep. That ain't gonna work. You gotta do some stuff here. And then you get their list. And what happens is there are a lot of Christians who do see it clearly for salvation one, but when they get to salvation two or living the Christian life, you're going to just trust God to take you out of sin. Yeah, I did that as an unbeliever. You're going to trust God to give you love and righteousness and knowledge, all these. Yeah. Now, you got to do. You got to do something for him. So we lie to the Holy Spirit that we are trusting him. You're really trusting in what you do and what you say. So you lie to the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what the problem is. Get ready for a shock. You may not know this. You may not know this. So get ready. Just brace yourself. He knows when we're lying. God knows when you're lying. You can strap it on people. You can even strap it on yourself. He knows when we're lying. He knows. Just like when you say, I'm trusting for salvation one, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, but you're holding on to your work. You're holding on to the church. You're holding on to something else. He knows. He knows. So, the Holy Spirit. This is God the Son. Now we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. Being God, he knows. He's the one who searches our heart. He's the one who searches our soul, the thoughts of man. The Spirit knows. So here you are, lying. Oh, I'm trusting you and you're holding on. No, you're not. And guess what? There is no power. There is no fellowship. There is nothing there. You have not tapped into his power because we can only do that by faith. It isn't because you're lying that there is no fellowship. It's because you're not trusting him. You see the difference in what I just said. So if you lie to the Holy Spirit, he knows when we're lying. He knows when we are truly trusting him. Faith alone, faith only, in the Holy Spirit. So many believers, live their whole life, people. They live their whole life lying to God. They live their whole life lying to the Holy Spirit. Their whole life. They would never think about telling a lie. And they get horrified when somebody else lies. But their whole message is a lie. Their whole life is a lie. This is very true of a lot of pastors across the country for centuries. Their whole life their message is a lie. But they would never think of lying, and therefore they're exalted and praised by man. What's the severe of lies? The most severe of lies? Lying to the Holy Spirit. You lie to the Holy Spirit, you're not filled with the Spirit. He knows. One of the most sobering truths in our life, when we say we're trusting the Holy Spirit, He knows when you're lying, people. Just put that in your soul. He knows if we're really trusting Him. And sometimes we even have to do soul searching on our own. Am I really just trusting the Spirit? Am I trusting the world? Am I trusting law? Am I really trusting Him? It's one of the most severe of all lies, to lie to the Holy Spirit. And most believers who understand that we must walk by faith, and they would say that, they walk by lying to the Holy Spirit. They're holding on to their list. They're holding on to the law, to what, something else. You cannot lie to the Spirit. You cannot have the lie of faith and live the Christian life. It isn't going to work. Okay, now the third one. What's the third one? You've got the first one, holding on to things of the world. Secondly, holding on to law, meaning that you have to do something for God. And then there's a third one, and that is telling the Holy Spirit you're trusting in Him, but you're holding on to the flesh. You're holding on to the flesh. Very powerful. Trusting the Spirit, holding on to the desires of the flesh. This is a big one. Oh, I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit. But you're really holding on to your desires of the flesh. And again, it's going to have to be faith only and faith alone for our Christian spiritual life. Now, right here is why many Christians, people, let's just talk. Right here is why many Christians marry the wrong person. Right here is why many, because they're lying to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm led by God, but really they're led by the desires of the flesh. And I'm not, I don't, when I say lust of the flesh, I don't mean that in some vulgar, horrible way. Romantic love is powerful. Powerful. And it's very easy to lie to the Spirit. Oh, this is of the Holy Spirit. This is of God. When in truth it isn't. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. It's what you want. And therefore, you just put God's approval on it. So this is why many people will marry the wrong person, because they, one, claim they're walking by faith. This is God's will. But in truth, it's not God's will. They're lying to the Holy Spirit. They do not, well, they're not walking by faith and His guidance. Lying to the Holy Spirit that we're trusting Him, following Him, doing what He leads. But in truth, we're following the desires of our own flesh. And that's just so dangerous, and big decisions are made here. The desires of the flesh are so strong and they're so powerful that we will actually lie to the Holy Spirit that this is His plan. You'd be surprised how many believers lie to the Holy Spirit, even about sin. We've already seen they lie to the Holy Spirit about self-righteousness, but we lie to the Holy Spirit even about sin. I'm not sinning. The Holy Spirit is leading me to gossip. The Holy Spirit is leading me to malign. The Holy Spirit is leading me to slander. The Holy Spirit is leading me in these things. And He's not. It's the desires of your own flesh. It is very dangerous to lie to the Spirit, because we have to be aware of just how powerful all of these are, how powerful the pull of the world, the desire to have law so that I can be righteous and all of that, and the desires that come from our own makeup, the desires of the flesh. And this is what I like Peter, because he didn't say you lied to one another. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You didn't lie to us. You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. That's a profound, insightful statement by Peter. And a lot of people would have argued with him if it wasn't in Scripture. But he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And they did it for the world, but people do it because of the flesh. They're really holding on to the desires of the flesh. In truth, we're lying. It's the lie of faith. You led me to treat another believer in the way that I treated them, when in truth, he did not lead you that way. But you claim this is of God. We saw this. I don't think we have to turn to it. In John, in Matthew, in various passages, Christians will kill Christians and claim they're doing it for God. It's a lie, not to other Christians, people. It's a lie to God. Far more severe than lying to one another. To lie to God, you have no hope of even being filled with the Spirit. And many Christians will lie to God in the way that they treat one another. I'm led of the Holy Spirit. I'm led of the Spirit to do this and to do that. I'm led of the Holy Spirit to treat you in this way, to do these things. This is why a lot of believers live where they live. It isn't the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is where they desire to live. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, but holding on to the desires of the flesh. Lying to the Spirit in regard to where I live, in regard to what I do, just dealing with the flesh. What I do with my money, what I do in life. And I'm led of the Spirit. I am trusting you, Holy Spirit, and this is where the Holy Spirit led me. Did he? Or did he? Are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Or is he really the one who leads and is guiding you? So we have to be very careful in all of these things that we're talking about. When we're holding on to the world, holding on to works of the law, holding on to all the things that we could talk about there, holding on to something that you and I do while claiming to walk in the Spirit, holding on to the desires of the flesh, and we might all know, I know the desires, but we kid ourselves, we lie, and we end up lying to the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting you, and you're not trusting him. Now, when this kind of teaching is done, there's always some who will overthink and really go into overthink on me. Don't do that. All you have to do is just settle back and just, I'm trusting your Spirit, and be able to listen to him. Move yourself from your desires, move yourself from the law, move yourself from the world, and he will lead you. I trust him to do that. That's what our faith is in him. I trust you to lead me. I trust you to do the things that we're talking about. And this is strong, this is strong, this is strong, but I trust you. And he will lead. This is what he will do for us. So faith plus, that kind of faith doesn't work. The faith plus holding on to the world isn't going to work. It isn't going to give you spirituality, walking in the Spirit. Faith plus the law, holding on to the law. Faith plus desires of the flesh. They're not going to work. My ways are not your thought ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. There's nothing common but between the flesh. There's nothing common between the flesh and God, law and God, and world and God. He is supernatural and spiritual. Don't lie to him. Just sit back and let him lead. Now, what is so beautiful, since I'm talking about the desires of the flesh, don't misunderstand. God is going to give you the desire, and he will fulfill the desire. This is a wonderful part of it. If we can let the desires of the flesh go and take on the desires that the Spirit gives, boy, there is just some unbelievable fulfillment of happiness in his plan. So don't look at this as, boy, we're really getting shortchanged on this one. No, you're not. Because the desires of the flesh are not going to be those that are really going to be that which would bring happiness and things. So we want to look at the desires that God is going to give to us. But there is a fourth one. So I hope you have these three down. lying to the Holy Spirit, but you're holding on to the world. You tell the Spirit, I'm trusting you, but you're holding on to all those things you studied and value, love of the world. And then lying, holding on to the law, your own doing, do and do, do and do, and holding on to the desires of the flesh. But there is a fourth area where we lie to the Holy Spirit. You're lying to the Spirit about what you are trusting Him to do. So here's the fourth one. You're lying to the Holy Spirit about what you are trusting Him to do. Oh, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. Not the kind of faith that God is looking for. You're lying. All you're doing is trusting God to do for you what you want done. You're lying about what you're trusting Him to do. We got a glimpse of this Sunday. Making up your mind as to what you're going to do. Run or stay, speak or remain silent, these types of things. Then trust God to take care of whatever it is you do. This is not the faith God is looking for, people. God is not looking for you to say, God, I am trusting you to make my marriage work. I am trusting you to bring the marriage back. I am trusting you to take care of my illness. I am trusting you to remove the problem. I am trusting you to take care of the financial problem. I am trusting you to do this the way I want it done. You're lying to the Holy Spirit because you're not trusting Him. You're bargaining with Him. You've already told the Spirit what it is you're trusting Him to do. That's not the trust He is looking for. That is not the trust. We lie to the Holy Spirit when we trust Him to do what we want Him to do. I am trusting God that if I will do this, then God will save me. God will deliver. God will do this. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to restore if I do this. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to make things work out the way I want them to work out. Here's what really we're doing. I am trusting God to do what I think God should do. That's really what we're trusting Him to do. And that's the faith of a lot of people. They don't know it. They won't admit it. But they're trusting God only to work things out the way they want them worked out. Now, here's why many Christians, or well, many Christians lie to the Holy Spirit, the lie of faith. And this is not the faith that God is looking for, nor is it the faith the Holy Spirit's looking for us to have in Him. It is a lie to tell the Spirit to trust in Him, but to trust in Him to do what you want. I'm trusting you to save my marriage. I'm trusting you to restore my marriage. I'm trusting you to bless my business deal. I'm trusting you to bless my health. I'm trusting you to restore my finances. I'm trusting you to cure this. I'm trusting you to do that. And what happens? Let me explain what happens in this lie. If He doesn't, we become very discouraged at God. We become very disillusioned with God. We become very disappointed with God. And we can even become very angry with God. It's usually where this ends up. I trusted you, God, and you didn't do it. You say you wanted my faith, and I trusted you, and you didn't do it. So faith doesn't work. You are not a God that can be trusted. Because I trusted you, and you're not doing it. Well, wait a minute. Time out. Were you trusting God? No, you lied. You weren't trusting God. You were trusting God to do what you wanted. Let me tell you the faith God is looking for, people. Will you trust me if I never solve the problem? Can you still trust me? That's the faith He's looking for. Faith doesn't remove problems, people. The problem may stay there all your life. Don't let anyone lie to you. The problem may stay there. The circumstance may not change. The illness may not change. The marital situation, the romantic situation, the financial situation, the health situation may never work out the way you're trusting God for it too. And then you become very disillusioned with God and very discouraged with faith. I don't want that to happen to you, so let's be sure we understand the faith God is looking for. The faith God is looking for is, will you trust me? I am God. So this is the bargain that Job did. Remember, Job is the umbrella of the whole Bible. This is the bargaining that Job did in his faith of God. And we'll see that in a little while. Trusting you, God. And you got to perform the way I want you to perform. This is the way he went at it. So what we're looking at here, in fact, it's somewhere else in my notes, but I just let me show you that. I don't know how I'm going to go back and put the notes back together, right? But let me just show you Job and a false faith and a false walk of faith. Because Job, everyone would swear, oh, Job is a great man of faith. Job never got it. Job lied to God. And boy, when the lie came and the light was shining on his lie, boy, it opened up a whole can of worms in his soul. So let me show you some things with Job. Let's start with Job 32. We got to have some fun. So let's look at Job 32. And then I'll just go back and put it back together some way. Job 32. And let's start with verses 1 through 3. Job 32, 1 through 3. Then these three men, these are his three friends, ceased answering Job because he, Job, was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, now this is the Christ figure of the three friends, this is the fourth friend, this is the true friend, this is the one who was in the fire with the three men and Daniel. Okay, and now we have the fourth one again. God will play that a lot, the fourth one. And if you look often through Scripture, that fourth one will be God. Okay, so here he is. Of the family of Ram, his anger burned against Job. Why? His anger burned because he justified himself before God. Now, what Job is doing is Job was trusting and holding on to what he did, that he was righteous, and he was trusting God that if I do my part, you'll do your part. You're not doing your part. I'm very upset with you, God. I'm very angry with you, God, and I'm very discouraged with you, God. You're not doing what you're supposed to do, God. And his anger burned against his three friends because they had not found no answer and yet had condemned Job. These are men that did not speak for God. Those are the ones who were speaking for Satan. Now, bear that in mind, and let's go back to chapter 27. Go back to Job chapter 27. Eventually, during all these little trips to Job, we will have covered nearly all of the main facets of Job. But look at Job chapter 27. Then Job continued his discourse and said, as God lives, which means I've been trusting God, and this is the way God ought to operate, who has taken away my right, and the Almighty who has embittered my soul, as long as life is in me, and the breath of God is in my nostrils, my lips certainly will not speak unjustly. Now, we already know they have. Nor will my tongue mutter deceit. And we know they already have from Elihu's statement. And be it from me that I should declare you right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My integrity. It's mine. I've worked for it. Now, I'll show you that. I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. Remember what Elihu said? He was righteous in his own eyes. He was trusting God for the wrong thing. My heart does not reproach any of my days. Now, look at chapter 29 a moment. Let's jump over. All of this whole thing flows. It's just some verses or more obvious than others as to what's going on. Verse 29, and we're going to start at verse 7, and I just want you to feel the saturation of I. And we'll know what Job is really trusting God about. All right, let's look at Job 29 and verse 7. When I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the old men arose and stood. I'm so wonderful. The princes stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. I was the only wise one. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongues stuck to their palates. For when the ear heard, it called me blessed. And when the eye saw, it gave witness to me. He's just showing you how great he is. He hasn't trusted God at all. Because I delivered the poor who cried for help, I did this. And I, the orphan who had no helper, I was their helper. The blessing of the one who ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. This man isn't trusting God at all. He's trusting God, the blessing, if he does his part. And in his eyes, he is very, very righteous and very, very much lying to God because he's not trusting God. He's trusting what he's done. Let's continue. In the middle of verse 14. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I investigated the case which I did not know. I broke the jaws of the wicked, took justice into my own hands, and snatched the prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. I'll do this because if I do all these things, I'm going to trust God to do it. Boy, God's going to come through for me. And look at verse 18, and let me remind you, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Remember way back in chapter 3 when this wasn't happening? What did he do? Oh, God, I cursed the day I was born. I don't know if you remember that, but we won't turn there, but boy, he had it. I just cursed the day I was born. It would have been better if I never born. But look where he is with his lying to God. I shall multiply my days. Verse 19. My root is spread out to the waters, and dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is ever new with me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Now go to 32 again. Go to chapter 32. Verse 2. The anger of Elihu, the son, his anger burned. His anger burned against Job. His anger burned because he justified himself before God. What was Job doing? He was lying to God. I'm trusting you, God. But no, he wasn't. And Job really collapsed. This is what happens when we lie to the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting you, but what are you trusting him to do? You're playing a game with God. If I do this, I'm trusting you to do that for me. I'm trusting you to make things work out the way I want them to work out. And I'm walking by faith because I am trusting you to handle this. But are you really trusting him to handle it? Or are you trusting him to handle it the way you want? So you've got to add that last part. I'm trusting God in the circumstances of my life. That sounds good. But do you have another part of that to make it work out the way I want? Or do you really have a period there? I'm just trusting him. And whatever he does, that's to his glory. And I trust him. He's God. This is where Job will get to in chapter 42. Job will get there. Abraham got there. Samson got there. Jacob got there. Peter got there. But it's a long journey to learn to walk and not lie to God. And specifically what we're looking about in the lie right now, what are you trusting God to do? You have to examine your own heart. And many people think that's the faith that God is looking for. I'm trusting God, and God's gonna make it work out this way. God's gonna make my marriage work. God's gonna make this financial thing. God's gonna restore me, and I'm really gonna come back out on top. God's gonna do this with my health, and what if God doesn't? You've been lying to him. Because that's not the faith he's looking for, people. And I hope I can really impress this on you. He's not looking for a faith that says, I'm trusting you to do what I want you to do. The faith that God is looking for is, I trust you. Period. You're God. And whatever you do, I trust you. And I praise you. People, when you lie to the Holy Spirit, eventually, even if you don't know it, you eventually will. Because as it gets more looking like he's not going to do what you want, you just get more depressed, more discouraged about faith and God and everything. You'll know, it isn't that something's wrong with faith, it's something wrong with the faith that you've been trusting God in. With. You've been trusting God to do it the way you want it done. That's lying. You're not trusting him. Trusting God is just trusting him. Whatever you do, I trust you. But if you don't work things out the way I think you should, I shall still walk by faith. I shall still continue to walk in your spirit and have that love flow through me. Love toward you, love toward one another, love toward myself. This is very difficult. This is why part of this whole battle of faith is that faith is a battle. Because it's not a faith to make everything turn out right in the way you think it should turn out. This isn't a sitcom on TV. This isn't a movie where everybody ends up happy at the end, meaning it all works out. This isn't something like that. This is reality. This is God's plan. And we get so caught up in what we lie to him about that we're trusting him, and it's not the faith he's looking for. Just not what he's looking for. The faith that God is looking for is not, I'm trusting you to solve this problem, take it away, and make everything turn out all right in this deal. What if I never take it away? Does that mean I'm not God to you? Does that mean I'm not omnipotent? Does that mean to you I couldn't have done it? Or does it mean to you I don't love you? Because I didn't do it the way you thought I should, does that mean I don't love you to you? Is that where you're going to come to now? Are you still going to trust me? Are you so caught up in defining your trusting of me by the circumstances of your life that that is going to determine whether you're going to trust me or not? People, that's not the faith that our God is looking for from us. The faith that he's looking for is a powerful faith. It's not a limiting faith. And let me tell you something else that happens when you lie to the Spirit under this one right here. You waste time. Because all you're doing is living for God to do that. And a year passes and he hasn't done it. And in a sense, you just wasted the year because you've just been waiting, hoping, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. I'm being morally good. I'm doing this all. And God's going to, because I'm trusting God to do it. And then another year goes by. And another year goes by. And then pretty soon what happens? You become angry at God because now what is you've wasted your life. A lot of times, men and women, it works both ways. I'm not going to pick on either one. But they date, and they say they're in their 20s, and they dated for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Well, you just wasted the best years of my life. If you're not going to marry me, and we get very angry at them. And not only in their 20s, but all through life. But we get very angry at them. That's what happens with God. I've been trusting you now for 10 years to work this out, and you haven't worked it out. I mean, 10 years of my whole life, God, they're wasted. Yes, they were. I agree with you 100%. They were wasted because it wasn't the faith God was looking for. But you know how you redeem every day, regardless of the circumstances of your life? Don't lie to Him. Trust Him. That's how you redeem a day. You waste a day if you lie to Him about the faith. You waste a day looking for it and waiting for it. Because I'm trusting you to do this, and boy, is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be tomorrow? Well, it ain't going to be tomorrow. Well, it ain't going to be today. Well, but I'm still going to try. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And you look back over your life, that time frame, and you become very angry at God. Look at this. You haven't done anything. I could have been doing something else. Yes, that's right. You could have been walking by faith and enjoying every day. Is it God's fault? No. You lied to Him. He didn't lie to you. He never promised you, you trust me to work it out and I'll work it out. You do not have that promise. He will work out, what does Romans 8:28 say? To His glory. That doesn't mean to the way you want. Be careful how you understand Scripture. To His glory, it's all that we care about when you're walking by faith. That's why we're walking by faith. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do that will be pleasing to you, whatever it is. If you want to stone me in the streets, says Stephen, stone me in the streets. Whatever you want to do, you do it. I trust you. You're God. Job started off that way. Lord give it, the Lord take it away. And then he started lying to God. Oh, but I'm trusting God here. But he wasn't. Trusting God to do what he wanted God to do. And as time went on, it really drug on Job, just like it does on Christians when your faith is a lie to God. Be sure you understand what you're telling the Spirit you're trusting Him to do. So you won't lie to Him. Be sure you know what you're trusting Him for. And what are we trusting Him for? We're trusting Him to do the things that He was sent to do. He was sent to teach us. He was sent to guide us. He was sent to empower us. He was sent to comfort us. He was sent to give us His fruit. He was sent to create or transform us into the image of Christ. He was sent for all these reasons. No promise that He was sent to do it the way you want it done. I don't know what those things mean in your life and in my life. Just trust Him. Don't know what He's doing today. Is it the way I would have liked the day to have gone? No, I'm not. I don't mean today, but just in talking about all of us on these days. Is this the way I wanted the day to go? No. Was I walking in faith? Yes. Okay, then it worked out the way God wanted it to work out. Not the way my desires of the flesh might, or what I didn't trust Him for that, though. I just trusted Him to bring this day into His glory in my life. To be led of the Spirit. That's all I can do. So don't lie to the Spirit and hold on to the world. We just hit the highlights of money, glory from one another, praise of man, need of man. Don't lie to the Spirit that you're trusting Him and holding on to your list. To your confession or your repentance or your sacrament or your sorrow or your whatever it is that your list is. You're holding on to it, but I'm trusting you. No, you're not. You're lying. Don't lie to Him and hold on to the flesh. Don't lie to Him about what you're trusting Him to do. Trust Him. I just trust you. In Job 42, Job will reach his point. I retract everything I say. You're God. I trust you. And that's where He has to bring us. This is where He has to bring us. I just trust you. And you're whatever you do. I don't trust you to solve problems in the way that I think they should be solved. Handle the problem. And it's very important that I repeat this to you again. If I never take away the problem, will you still trust me? Or are you trusting me to take away that problem? What are you really trusting me for? what you want or my glory, my plan, for you fit into it. Closing the word there. Father, we, in our journey and opening up the scripture, we're seeing, Father, just that person of the Holy Spirit really is. The relationship that we can have with Him and trust Him as God. Not someone to be lied to, but someone to be trusted as your Son, as you. For in truth, you are the same. Father, we pray that you will continue to open our eyes that we might see, that you will continue to take us on this journey. Cause us more and more to just see how simple the faith that you're looking for. Yes, it's a battle, but it's so simple to just trust you, to trust a God who is love. We praise you for who and what you are, Father. In the Son's precious name, amen.